Frankly, I'm not too wild about this next event, but it has become a tradition.
From the WGN Tower.
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go.
Up the butt every day.
This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
.FM. Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, Capri and Chicago Heights. Breaking news. Two rappers, Samuel Shadow Morgan and Edwin D12 Tway, spent time as kids in refugee camps in Ghana after fleeing the civil war back home in Liberia, one of the Ebola virus-stricken areas. Now, these two rappers have come up with an Ebola song.
Ebola, Ebola eater.
Don't touch your friend.
No touching. No eating something dangerous. Ebola, Ebola eater.
Don't touch your friend.
No kissing.
Between that and the ice water over the head stunt for ALS, viruses have become go-to for entertainment.
Better than Vegas.
Why stop there? How about disco for diabetes or twerking for erectile dysfunction? Here's a developing story. The Brazilian state of Sao Paulo is investigating why women are being asked to submit to tests to prove their virginity in order to apply for state jobs.
That sounds kind of crazy.
This country loves to fiddle with that area. First, the Brazilian, and what do you call this, the Virginian?
Well, stop kidding, will you? Make us some drinks.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. I'm Gary Meyer on the Super Streamliner, the G, on the Gear Force. On WGN.FM, Chicago.
Do not touch it. It is dangerous.
Don't touch me.
Hey. Ebola. Ebola.
Don't touch your friend.
Don't touch him. No eating something dangerous. Ebola. Ebola.
Don't touch your friend.
Don't touch him.
I never thought I could dance to Ebola, but
wow.
I'm dancing.
Gee, I thought I was at a Paul Simon concert in Africa
right.
or something.
He
wow.
likes that international music scene. He
yes.
incorporates that into his stuff.
Yeah.
And like I said in the opening, these two guys decided, hey, let's do some Ebola music.
Yeah.
And there it is. Makes it sound kind of fun.
It does. Oh, it sounds like a delightful disease, doesn't it? I mean, you know, dehydration, skin dying, and all
yeah.
the rest.
And there's no cure.
Yeah. Isn't that something? Although, I heard some doctors talking about that. They said if they treat you and they hydrate you and all the rest, and even get some aspirin into you, that helps a lot. So apparently, they can mitigate some of the effects of this. But it sounded like initially when they talked about that, like they just ate your flesh and that was it. Didn't it to you, Gary?
Yeah, that's what I've been reading.
Yeah.
And the spread of it is just a disaster because a lot of these people are blaming the Doctors Without Borders, for bringing it in.
Yeah.
So now you're in that conundrum. You won't let them in. And then they leave them at home, and then it spreads, and now you got over 1,000 casualties, I believe.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And then that group left the hospital. They got mad at the care they were getting or something. And
yeah. Well,
so.
That's why I'm glad that I live in the
right
U.S.
here.
Of A.
Yes, that's a good point, Gary.
I was dining al fresco this afternoon.
Oh, and did you have that little cloudburst come
it
by?
It looked nice when we started, and
yeah.
then the skies darkened, and then it started to come down. We
yeah.
were under a canopy of a sort.
Yeah.
So initially we weren't getting wet, and then it was coming down so hard it started to leak into my Cobb salad. And I'll tell you what, I know Ebola is tough and all that, but
yeah.
when rainwater is getting into your Cobb
yeah.
salad,
nothing
that,
like
that's
a,
not right.
Nothing like a flash flood in your Cobb salad
yeah.
to kind of ruin the afternoon.
So we had to move indoors on that one. Otherwise, we were going to stick it out, but it really was just coming down in buckets. Was that everywhere or just in the downtown
no,
area?
No, it was just in the downtown area. It was one little cell. It had a top of 47,000 feet. The Doppler estimated rainfall, if you went just off the shoreline, went up to 2.6 inches, but we got about a half an inch to three-quarters of an inch, and that's been confirmed by some downtown rain gauges. But it came so fast that we literally had some standing water in some of the streets around here. It's very localized, and a lot of lightning with it as well on spots.
We needed it downtown because the sidewalks were just covered in gree-gree, because we really
yeah.
haven't...
No,
well,
had a good
that I know
gully washer.
A rain that just gets all that stuff off. It
It's just funky.
Well, that's not going to be the last one of those either. We're getting this ring of fire pattern, and that's where these storm clusters develop around the north perimeter of these hot air domes. And we've got this hot air dome that's developing northward could give us a string of 90-degree days. The one thing that could throw a wrench in the works is if these thunderstorms form as the weekend comes on, for instance. We think at some point most of these storms are going to be pushed north of us, but for a couple of days yet, we're going to have some pretty good storms every now and then. For instance, there may still be a couple that pop this afternoon and a couple more tomorrow afternoon. Thursday, there could be some gusty storms at times. And then Friday, they ought to thin out a little bit, and we may cap the atmosphere. And if that's true, then we could get some mid-90s around here on Saturday. If the thunderstorms keep occurring here and not up to the north of us, then that would, restrain the heating somewhat, and we might get only 90 or 92. But one way or another, it looks like a very warm, humid period. So this is a Gary Meyer the pattern we've got going on here.
Embrace it, because in a month, the chances of us getting hot...
I know.
Not very good.
I know. You're absolutely right.
I can't believe we're going back into fall. It seems like we all just thawed out from that winter.
It's true. We really did live the aftermath of that cold winter for a long time. No question about that.
Your summer ends in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. We go into meteorological autumn. But, it's not unheard of to, backload a warm season with some warm days. In fact, from this point forward, we had Bill Snyder check the record
Snyder.
Books. Yes, weather producer extraordinary. He was looking at the records yesterday, because Bill is always on the hunt for some 90-degree days. But he found out that we had seven. I hadn't remembered that. Seven beyond this point last year, 90-degree days.
Oh, well, that's reassuring.
Yeah. So I thought you'd like that news.
Apparently, when the show, we thought it ended at 7 o'clock last night. Listen
yes.
to this.
Yeah.
Because of the texts, the way this works at 312-521-8600, when I finish, nobody really sits at the post I'm at. So these texts are basically still there from the night before, and then the ones that are coming in today are on top of those, but I can scroll back
sure,
and a
see
few
what
inches
came in.
And see what happened at the end of the show that I might have missed.
Yes.
And it says that the mics were still live after we ended the show. And it says at 7:03, the replay just freaked out and stopped. I was writing because you were still on the air when the show ended. Heard Bibble talk about how Joe was totally drunk and not too much more. Just a heads up, be careful out there. Love the show. Yeah, somebody
that could
said
be dangerous.
About 40 seconds after I said goodnight, hey, the mics are still alive. Now, we didn't really say anything that I remember that would have been embarrassing.
A YouTube moment.
Yeah, I just kind of, I'm sitting here in silence, but of course Bibble has to tear off on some of the fine listeners that I have. And Joe, I don't think that's bad that Joe had a few glasses of white wine, because in Joe's situation, I'd have a lot of wine, too. The poor woman, a little isolated there.
Yeah.
But it's where you have a light that illuminates in the studio that says the mics are on.
You don't have that, huh?
It looked like that light was off, so I don't. You never know anymore. And this thing is so jury-rigged sometimes, I don't know what's going on. And then that replay is supposed to start right at 7. The show repeats itself.
Yeah.
But last week, it didn't start until 8:30 because somebody forgot to push the button.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't know what happened last night. I hope that it's now starting at 7.
My wife said it was that everything was in fast motion. Everything was... And it stopped, and then
that's
it
terrific.
Started over again.
Great.
Well, that's so they can pack all that that wisdom and humor in a shorter period of time.
For those people in a hurry.
Sure. You kind of get a more concise version of the afternoon show.
Now, I wish I had answers for some of this stuff, but I don't for a lot of it right now. Alan wants to talk to Mr. Skilling. Alan, what's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon, Gary and Tom and Bibble.
Hello, Alan.
I did hear Bibble last night, by the way. And so I guess I'll wait for my comments to appear tonight after the show.
Yeah, he'll tear you a new one. Guy's got so much anger.
Damn, Alan from Minnesota.
And I promise he won't tell the story about being on the ship and that couple from Alabama going racist on him. I promise that's done.
Anyways, this is Alan from Hoka, the somewhat regular guy. Say, Tom,
yes.
I had a really interesting experience last night, and I thought I'd give you a shout about this.
Yeah.
I've experienced this a couple times in my life, but it was rather unique.
Mm-hmm.
We had a large thunderstorm here in southeast Minnesota last night around 9 o'clock. And even as it was coming, you could see the lightning was almost continuous.
Yes.
And after the storm, gosh, the sky was constant lightning. Once before I've seen it like this, where it's just so intense. It's
yeah.
continuous lightning. Most of it's cloud to cloud.
Right.
But I was wondering if there was a phenomena associated with that or why a thunderstorm might be like that, because not all of them
are that way. You know what I've noticed they get these complexes of thunderstorms. They're like little mini tropical storms, for lack of a different definition. They form an entirely different way. But what happens is you get this low-level jet to fly up through the plains. This is a wind maximum at the low levels. And it keeps importing all this moisture, and it blows up thunderstorms in place. And it does seem like the breed of lightning you get out of a complex that forms like that is just like nothing else you see. And it'll go on for hours sometimes. And it often ends with these, as you say, these intra-clouds or these cloud-to-cloud lightning displays and little things they call streamers, which are like these little fingers of lightning that crawl across the whole sky, you know, the whole base of the cloud. It's really fascinating to watch. But it sounds like that's what you were seeing, and we were watching that complex up there, and that would make sense. You're right on the nose of this heat wave that's going to develop northward in the next couple of days, and so there's plenty of moisture to keep feeding in there and keep these storms going, and the electrical activity with that kind of storm is always pretty amazing.
When they showed the radar last night that the storm that was coming, they said about 2 or 3 in the morning, but I don't think that happened. That was coming from the north.
Yes.
Isn't that where that line of thunderstorms
exactly.
is coming from?
Yeah,
that happen overnight?
It did.
Really?
Actually,
I am sleeping like a baby lately.
Well,
We got rain.
You know what, Gary? They had 40. The northern suburbs got the heaviest winds and all. Like, they had 40-mile-per-hour gusts up around Harvard and stuff like that. They also had they had a half an inch to an inch of rain all the way from parts of McHenry County up into southern Wisconsin. Whitewater had 9/10 of an inch of rain. So, and then I went out and walked the dog this morning, the dogs, and the storms were coming in then. By that time, they didn't have a lot of lightning, and we thought they'd run out of steam as they were coming in here. So they were more scattered, and not everybody saw those.
Well,
but
maybe,
that's what's going on.
Maybe it's my NyQuil drip that's knocking me out.
I know. Well, that's great. I'm glad you're sleeping so well.
Yeah, I'm sleeping through all these lately. I don't know what's going on.
You know, it's a funny thing. We turned on the air conditioner a little bit last night just to get the humidity out of the air. And when the windows are closed, you know, you often miss this kind of... Did you have your windows open last night?
Because I heard the storm was coming through, I closed all the windows.
Gotcha.
But we didn't have the air on. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
So,
well, sometimes you don't hear them, because I know I miss some of those, too, and I'm even expecting to, you know, see them, having looked at them on the models and all. But, and this thing at noon was pretty impressive.
It trending at number 5, Tommy.
How about that?
Trending at number 5.
It's good.
Alan, I hope that answers...
interesting observation, Alan.
The hocus pocus witnessed last night.
It really was something. The thunder, too. It was constant thunder. But,
did you get a lot of rain out of that?
Yes, it rained about an inch within an hour, but it was dry up here. It hadn't rained in about 3 weeks.
It's true. It was. Yeah. Well, we're getting into a wetter pattern here, so I think these things they won't be continuous, but these are going to come through in little clusters. And if you get under one of these things in the next couple of days, it's going to rain.
I would have the same comment as Alan when I was raking at my mother's on Sunday. There were big cracks in the dirt.
Yeah.
And that means, and some of the bushes were browning, and I'm thinking, well, I thought we had rain overnight, but this doesn't look like there's been rain.
No, it really has been a pretty dry period. I was looking at the percent of normal precip. We get these analyses from some of the climate centers, and it's amazing. A huge area. We started out so wet in summer, then we turned drier. Now, the last couple of nights, they've had horrendous rains up through Wisconsin. Fox Valley up there had flood warnings up the other night. They'd had 1 to 3 inches of rain, and this new batch was heading in over that area. So the rains have picked up in the last week or so. But, yeah, many areas around here, and I'm getting comments from folks saying, gee, you talk about these flooding rains. We haven't gotten it where we are.
I'd like to get her that artificial turf. I really would.
It's always
a bare spot or a brown spot in the weeds. And it's, who needs this?
Have you seen that commercial for that stuff that you spray on and it sends this kind of adhesive green glop out that holds the seeds to the soil and then they eventually send roots down into the soil, but they say it's great for patching up bare spots.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It sounds like it's like what you see they spray on the side of the highways.
Oh, yeah, because that stuff really seems to take.
It does. It takes fast, and I didn't know how that worked, but I've seen this ad for that, and so maybe that's what you ought to get, Gary.
I saw in the Air Mall magazine when I was flying, they have these roll-out fake hedges. They're not really hedges. It's just basically thin strip that looks like you have some vines or something growing. And the woman next door to my mother's has a real ugly fence. It's one of those fences where you take those tin strips and you put it in the cyclone fence.
Right.
And it's white and red. And this woman bought the house recently, and that fence has been up for 25 years, and it's really ugly. So I thought if I could wrap that, because I just don't like the look. I know I don't live there, but it's psychological.
Yeah.
I know it's there.
Yeah, I know what you
mean. And I could roll this kind of fake-looking hedge on that side. It looks like there's greenery. I want to go all artificial. I want the trees to be artificial. I want everything artificial.
Yeah,
I don't want any maintenance.
Well, you like those, you talk about the artificial Christmas trees and all. It is. It does save upkeep.
Yeah, and she's got the leaf guard gutters, thank God, because I'm starting to see leaves falling, which that's not too depressing.
No, but it's, and that, by the way, I don't think is the product of temperature. I think that's more of the moisture.
Right, because they're really dried out leaves. But you can see these clumps of leaves on top of the leaf guard. They want in, but they can't get in. But I hope that leaf guard comes around again, because I have a whole new set of circumstances to use as the selling point. When we were in Montauk at this beach house, I'm sitting there looking at these houses, and the funny part is, these houses anywhere else in the country would be $50,000.
Right.
The one next door to us, I couldn't believe it, $1.1 million because of the location.
Sure.
Location, location, location.
Exactly.
But my point is, they have regular open gutters, and I'm thinking most of these people, this is their kind of weekend or summer home or whatever, and they're going to get up there and clean gutters at their summer house?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
If they had leaf guard at that. And I was already writing the whole commercial, but they're not advertising on Dot.
Do they have a lot of trees out there? I mean, normally...
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of beach grass and stuff, but there are trees, yeah.
Okay.
Enough to blow in there, and some sand could blow up there. That hurricane...
It's true.
Sandy, that took that area, too.
Yes, it did. It did. Hurricane Donna went right up through there when I was a kid.
Sand blows all over the place.
It does. I remember when I was a kid, we went... when I lived out in New Jersey, that's what you did in the summer. You went to the ocean, and...
Yeah.
And we had this little house we rented one time, and a hurricane went by, and there was like 2 inches of sand that adhered to the entire outside of the thing.
You're half a block from the beach. That's going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Hey, have you ever seen this? I forgot to talk about this. There was no bathroom or porta potty on this beach, and there were several hundred people there, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm sure they all don't live within a half a block or a block to go and use the bathroom. So
bathroom.
You know what,
Gary,
they did? They probably walked. Well, what does that do if they're trying to keep things pristine, if these people are going to the bathroom of the ocean?
Well, Gary, they've got fish that do that out there, too.
I know, but fish's stuff is so small.
I see.
Man has larger.
Well, that's true. But, you've got a couple thousand miles of water out there, so it's not like...
All right, if that's what people are doing, I wouldn't be that comfortable making hard lemonade in the ocean. I just don't.
Gary, there's whales out there, too, you know.
Yeah, that's
true.
That's it.
Yeah, imagine if they're... okay. But that's what people have to be doing because there's no bathroom.
Well, that's true. I don't think we ever had a bathroom at the ocean. That's what you did. You wandered in and...
Do big potty ever.
No,
ever,
that's right.
Ever.
But these men are making a point. You got all this aquatic life. And what do you think they're doing day in and day out?
But if it's anything like our goldfish, it's just a little translucent
string. A whale just makes a little...
Okay, on that theme...
A little squiggle.
When they have the beaches closed here, they say some of that is because of the seagulls going to the bathroom in the water.
Yeah.
So it must affect the water when you have outside stuff going in.
Well, that's true. But, you know, the lake is kind of a closed system. You know, in the ocean, you've got a little more movement and all. And there's a lot more area in which
literally.
To...
Literally.
Yeah. 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 Just, yeah.
And, several and, movements, it sounds like.
I mean, 75% of the planet's covered with this stuff, you know. So, I don't want to sound environmentally dispassionate because I believe in protecting our oceans, and I think we throw too much in it, but somehow there are worse things to throw in it, I think.
All right, well, that's what people were doing.
Yeah. Honestly, Gary, now that you bring that up, I never thought about it, but I don't...
Well,
we
I
never
had, that,
had a...
Believe me, I was sitting there going, I have to use the bathroom, where is it? And they go, you got to go back to the beach house, because there is no bathroom.
Right.
I go, where are all these people going to the bathroom? And they go, oh, no.
The moment of
surf's up.
Yeah.
They didn't bring any real food, right? It was all just drinks?
No, we had real food. Just isn't right. Yeah. What's the harm of having one porta potty? How does that destroy anybody's day?
No, that's a good point.
I mean, little kids, you're going to take a little baby? People that have babies, you're going to take them and just soak them?
That's a good point.
Well, little kids go all the time anyway.
I know, but it just seems like a porta potty wouldn't kill anybody.
No, it's a good point, except that it means somebody has to, you know, maintenance those.
Okay.
And they probably don't want to spend the money for it.
They should be decorated differently, too. We need, like, for them to blend into a more green environment. So instead of the industrial green and yellows and
blue.
Stuff like that, if they just maybe painted them like woodland scenes.
A nice beige.
Or put a bale on, whale on the side of the thing, you know?
Just decorate that thing.
Yeah.
A little anchor on there.
Or maybe people are doing the Castaway bathroom like Tom Hanks, where he would dig a hole after he had the crab.
Put Wilson up there on top.
Throw the dirt or the sand over it.
It's no clam bake.
Yes. It's nasty. Alan, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. See you guys.
All right. Yeah.
Leslie's going to do her thing because it's 3:30 already, and then I'll continue on with you, Tom.
Okay, Gary.
Two officers have been shot, and a hostage situation continues in Harvey near 147th and Roby. The nearby Rosa Parks Middle School is on lockdown because of the standoff. The unrest continues in Ferguson, Missouri. Police say they experienced heavy gunfire last night. More than 30 people were arrested as protests continued. As a result of the shooting of Michael Brown, two officers were shot during last night's violence. But police say none of their officers fired a weapon. And the city of Chicago has begun repurposing some old newsstands into healthy food kiosks. Eat Spots, that's Eats, Education, Agriculture, and Technology will feature salads, fruits, and wraps in an effort to bring more healthy options to more people. The first one opened Monday at 368 with West Madison. More are on the way.
What is this? What are they?
They used to be newsstands.
Oh, yeah.
And now
those are all pretty much gone.
Food kiosks.
Which is interesting. In New York, you see these newsstands, and they seem to flourish all over the place still.
On every corner.
I don't know why we can't. I mean, you see very few now in Chicago.
And they sell pop and food as well as magazines.
You know what they used to sell when I was young? They sold chestnuts. Did you ever have those roasted chestnuts at those little vendors? They're quite good. They taste like potatoes, kind of. But
I, as a rule, don't buy off any stands in New York. I got sick once, and that was the end of that.
You know what, Gary, though, there was a study recently, wasn't there, that the food trucks and all are even safer than some of the restaurants?
Probably. And that was 20 years ago. I should move on, I guess.
Yeah.
But I just want my New York Post. 312-521-8600, Gary Meyer on the dot.fm. Tom, I got this text that says, saw Tom on the 9 o'clock last night. And he got Anita Dick's name corrected for the 9 o'clock news.
Yes, I did.
Did you get that right?
Do you know, I realized that Anita's name was last name was Briggs. And so she wasn't Anita Dick. It was Christina Dick.
Attaboy.
Yes, right. But I felt kind of embarrassed that I hadn't corrected that here.
And if you didn't hear yesterday's program, Tom showed some photos on the noon news.
And Christina, her sister, always sends these spectacular shots along. And her sister lives out in Arizona and sent this amazing thunderhead over a mountain out there. And, of course, there's no better place to look at those out there because the atmosphere is so clear. And so I put that on the air.
And her sister, Anita, her last name is really...
Briggs.
Briggs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't get anything past my listeners.
I know.
They are watching like hawks.
I know. You always have had, Gary, the most amazing audience. They don't miss a beat. So I appreciate everybody being so attentive.
And I got this one. You mentioned you had something to say about Dave Novotny and Melrose Park, but I think I missed it. Hope you're coming to the Taste this year, which is right by his shop. I did not get to that. I did say I would. I apologize. It is the Taste of Melrose Park, I believe. I know it's Labor Day weekend, and I don't have all the information I had yesterday. Aaron, that packet on Melrose Park, if you could find that, please. And in essence, it's the Taste of Melrose Park. Dave Novotny is involved in that. And as that text says, he has his shop nearby, and I'm sure he'll have a booth. Is that the gist of it? Is that what he told you?
Oh, yeah, and he's a big booster of the town. He's been there. That's where he works.
Right.
And lives.
He was the chief maintenance guy, engineer at Kittyland in Melrose.
What a talent he has. You know, it's funny you mentioned Dave because somebody came into the office today and saw Dave's sculpture up there. Piece he did of the skyline, which is absolutely amazing. And this guy said, wow. He said, who did that? And I told him it was Dave Novotny.
I know. And everything he does is gold.
It's stunning. And the guy said, boy, you don't let that get away from you. But we've got it right here, so everybody who walks right by the weather office can see it. And it's stunning.
Well,
the hours he put in on that is...
Well, he probably cranks this stuff out. He's by himself for the most part.
And I know.
Just cranks that stuff out. It would take me 2 years to make one of those things.
Word.
And it would look like crap.
Absolutely. And he cuts like letters out of metal, and the skyline's kind of... I don't know how he does it.
He's got a new piece he showed me the other day. It's the Chicago flag.
Whoa,
I'll bet that's cool.
That's very cool. So it's the silver background, and then there's the blue stripe with the red stars.
There's nothing he cannot do.
And he was going to then say that he might put the sports team's names in the stars.
Oh, my word. That'd be fantastic, wouldn't it?
One of the winners of the mini crucifix, Mini Jesus, came to get her crucifix today, Noel, who was on the 22nd floor broadcast, and she looked, it was wrapped, so she didn't unwrap it until she got home, and she sent me a text that it's a smaller version of the one I have.
Wow.
And it's just beautiful.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I don't care what religion you are.
Right.
As an art piece, as just a piece of sculpture.
Yeah, it's a stunning piece of work, I can imagine. Dave is
a
very...
Is your cross up in your office?
Talented.
In fact, they hung all of my stuff today, so I'm officially in my new office.
Oh.
The master carpenter for the building came down and got all my surfing pictures up.
Wow.
I just pretend like I'm a surfer. I have no real surfing experience, but to look at those in the middle of winter, I feel good. I got the Dave Novotny cross back up, the crucifix. So yeah.
Where is that at?
You didn't see it. It's on that wall right by the window.
Oh, okay.
Are you gonna have that on Facebook, Gary?
I'll put it up.
Yeah, because I'd like to see that too. And did the corn people find you yet?
We get our corn. Marlene left a couple bags in the studio, not in our office, so I wasn't completely shunned.
Yeah. She probably...
Or shucked,
yeah.
Yeah. She probably thought, you weren't moved in yet and didn't want to get the corn.
Yeah, that's it. That's got to be it. That's what I have to tell myself.
Right.
When I came to her office, before I knew the corn was in here, there were 9 empty crates of Mirai corn, and I thought... 9 crates? Now, who would be on the priority list to get all those? Just throw me a cob, please.
Yeah.
But she had taken care of us, so that's fine.
It's good.
I haven't. I think we're going to do that tonight.
It's really good.
Oh, it's always really,
it's
good.
Really good.
And my wife got a watermelon yesterday, too, and it looked really good, so I'm going to plow into that tonight.
Well,
the watermelon's got to be really at its prime right now.
I would think, yeah. And tomatoes, too, wouldn't you think? I've not gotten to the farmer's market as often as I've wanted to this year. I've had a lot going on Saturdays, and I really miss that because this is a great time of the year. The eating is so fantastic with corn and tomatoes and, as you say, watermelon. Mm.
Well, you would be best served by eating the watermelon because that fills you up, and
it
I
does.
Know you're watching.
Well, tell you,
not as much.
Well, I am watching, Gary. I've got to get back, in form again. I haven't been walking on the treadmill as much as I wanted to. So I
know I hit a slump of, I'm not practicing my guitar, and I'm sure my teacher's going to be really unhappy. I was learning Sweet Home Alabama, and
Gary,
I went on vacation,
you're probably like
2 weeks.
You get
home,
going.
I'll do it before. before I come to this studio tomorrow. Yeah. And then...
Eight million things come up.
Yeah, but it's no excuse.
I know.
But I'm talking to other people, and they're all saying they're in that kind of dog days of summer where you're not really motivated. Is that it?
I think
just
that
kinda,
maybe
I don't know. I'll get to it.
Yeah.
But after Labor Day, I'll put the white shoes and belt away. And
and all this, you'll catch up on everything.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Sweet Home Alabama.
How come when I do it, it doesn't sound like this? Boy, I really appreciate people that have mastered an instrument because
the truth?
Some people can pick them up and just get right into it. It's their second nature.
I know.
Mine's the fourth nature. I got to get up to the nature of second.
Well, I'm pretty impressed you do it at all.
Well, it's more of a, it's like going and getting a massage to me. It's kind of zen-like to learn something.
Yeah.
I have no aspiration to be in a band or play in public. It's just soothing.
Yeah.
To learn something.
Well, what a wonderful way to, release stress, if that's what it is. You can't do it in a more healthful way than that, Gary.
Well, I think burning the incense in my office every day, that's a start.
Yeah.
Novotny gave me a little bag of vanilla incense, so I'm going to start burning that as soon as I finish up the ones I have. I got about 6 sticks left. I'll go through those tomorrow.
You can smell that in the Tribune lobby now.
Right.
it's not just in the WGN hallway anymore.
That's interesting.
It's seeping through.
Gee.
I heard Tina from Tony and Tina, their office is down the hall. That's not too clumsy. But anyway, I'm sitting in my office. I had the door open. And I hear her say to somebody, "What's burning?"
Oh, really?
Probably my anger down here.
Or your ears.
Yeah. Well, I'm down here. I'm down here. But... No, it's not. It's fine.
It's fine.
But
their door is closed.
I don't think it's a bad smell. I like kind of a wood-burny smell. When you walk in or walk outside during the fall, when people are burning their fireplaces, what better smell is there?
That is true. You know what I miss are the leaves burning in fall. Now, you can get too much of that, but remember how you used to pile your leaves up and you'd burn them in the front yard and you didn't think anything of it? Now we realize we're polluting the air with that. But that was always such a nice smell in autumn when people were raking their leaves and would burn them. I thought, anyway, but I
love that smell, so I don't know. I'm sure the vanilla will be cool,
yeah,
too.
That'll be
yeah,
nice.
That vanilla.
Nice. It takes me back to my dormitory days at the University of Wisconsin. Of course, there was more burning in those dorms than incense.
Probably a lot of gunpowder being put into a tube.
Oh, gee. Those were strange times.
Mad town.
I was back
Bogarting those joints.
Yeah.
Gee.
Tom, with the fold-out album, the bifold album, he's just scraping the seeds out to get the good stuff.
Those black light posters.
Sure.
Wizard on it.
Yeah. That
so
was me already. Yeah.
Here's a text. Got swimmer's itch from Michigan on vacation.
Oh, great.
I saw a news piece about this. I don't know where I saw it anyway.
Oh, that's right. And somebody said their legs like burned.
Swimmer's itch, yeah.
Yeah, and then itched. Oh, that sounds awful. So was that in Michigan?
It says Michigan here.
Wow.
And I got to look that story up. If you could find that story on swimmer's itch, I thought, that doesn't sound good.
No. Well, Gary, if you ever had any inclination to go into the lake, I'm sure it's totally gone now, right?
I know. I didn't even go in the pool when I was on vacation. It was right there.
Jeez.
That's how crazy I am.
Not that
I have anything against the pool. It's just,
Yeah. But there's chlorine in that.
I know.
All this stuff, you know.
I know it's clean and everything, but I certainly... The ocean was way too angry when I was there because of the hurricane aftermath. Those waves are coming in, and they did have a rip tide warning.
Oh, well, you could have gone and tried drowning too, I did out in Hawaii.
I just kept thinking of you floating out there and calling for help.
2 minutes from the end, right there. That was That was humbling, to put it mildly.
Now I'll just have my potato chips and my sandwich, and then I'll figure out where the bathroom is. That was my sequence of events.
You know, when we used to go to the shore as a kid, I remember there were these balls of tar that the ships would throw overboard, I guess. And you'd walk out of the water, and you'd have, like, tar stuck to your feet in certain
places. Why would
they
do that?
I don't know. And you know what else they used to have is these dirigibles that went up and down the coastline? These big hot air balloons, like the ones that fly over Wrigley Field. Only in those days, they used to go up and down the coast. They actually, the military patrolled the coast that way. I guess that started back in World War II, but I think they're gone now, too, aren't they?
How do you have a shipping business and then throw stuff in the ocean? Doesn't that produce bad karma or tarma in this case?
Well, you know, up in Alaska, they go after the cruise liners all the time. If they're caught throwing anything overboard, they get in some big trouble for
that. I hope so. How can, and again, you make your living on the ocean. How do you do that?
I don't know. I guess there was the notion that it was a limitless, area where you could throw anything at one time, and we realized that they're... we have the ability to mess it up, as huge as a body of water as it is.
I'm kind of a whistleblower on one of our cruises. I'm walking the deck at night.
Yeah.
I went around the ship. It's 10 o'clock at night. I hear something. I lean over the railing, and I see bags of garbage being tossed into the ocean.
That's not good.
By who?
By
the crew?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
So I mentioned it to one of the management types, and that became a big story. And they stopped doing it. I'm not saying I was the catalyst. It might have been already in motion. But I certainly brought it up, and I thought, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
What's that noise? I look over, and big bags of garbage out the portholes into the ocean. And then I was told they're allowed to throw, I think I heard this right, bottles and stuff like that in.
They have
a certain amount that they can throw in, which that doesn't seem right. Why would bottles be okay?
Yeah, well, look what happened with the bilge water being released in the Great Lakes. We had these invasive species that have come in and things like that. You got to be careful. You know, didn't I hear that they throw things out of the International Space Station up in space, too?
Great.
So you could be hit by something flying around there.
Beware of wading into Michigan's pristine lakes this 4th of July. You may come away with swimmer's itch, which victims say is as gross as it sounds. It's been around forever, but complaints about Higgins Lake in particular are receiving more attention. Swimmer's itch is an itchy rash caused by flatworms whose larvae burrow into human skin.
Oh, how lovely.
Humans are not the best host. The larvae prefer waterfowl, so the parasites die inside the skin, causing the itching.
Oh.
Terrific.
Great. That gives us something to dream about tonight.
This says 4th of July, but the story I saw was just about a week ago, so it's still ongoing.
Well, you are entering their house.
That's true.
I mean, it is their house.
That's true. That goes along with sharks live in the ocean.
Right, exactly,
bears live in the woods. So I guess we can't complain about that. What are we supposed to do? It's the Wild West out there.
Yeah.
Go into the pool and hope that no kid does big potty. That's all you can do.
Yeah. Or else there's enough chlorine to handle it if he does, So.
Yeah, but the lakes and rivers and oceans, hey, that's not our house.
No.
Not in my house. No. Ha ha ha.
Well, look how all that came to the fore when they were looking for the airliner out in the Indian Ocean. And they said there's always stuff floating around out there. Big cargo bins and all this kind of stuff. And
they still haven't found that plane.
No. No. Boy, has that disappeared from the radar scope, huh? I mean, more ways than one. But, I mean, it's not even being covered anymore.
Jill on the blower. What do you got, Jill?
You know, I actually saw a special on, I think it was National Geographic, about certain things that are okay to go in the ocean. And the glass bottles are one of them because they don't bleed. They're non-toxic. It's not like plastic that has PBAs in it. Mm-hmm. And fish habitats, traditionally, they get smashed up and broken into a million pieces and turned into sand. So they don't really impact negatively the ocean.
I did hear that right. Anything else they can throw in there legally?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It was like wood broke down. They would sink certain ships to create like artificial habitats and reefs for areas where we of course go in and destroy them by accident. There was a short list of things that were actually good for the ocean as opposed to harmful.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, bottles I remember.
Well, right, it makes sense because glass is made from sand, isn't it?
Right.
So, it's kind of returning to... the environment from which it came.
They say if we dropped a nuke on some of these Arab nations, that it would be one big glass coffee table because it's all sand. And then with all the radiation, just one giant glass coffee table. Well, how do you like them apples?
Think of the Windex.
And they better calm down because we're getting close.
Because those coffee tables are coming back into fashion.
That's right. Nice.
All right, Gary, I just wanted to mention
Thank you, Jill.
That's interesting. Good,
sure,
Jill.
Bye. Yeah.
All right, Tom, give me a weather that I can repeat. And I got to remember to do this at 6. I have it, and then 6 comes, and I'm blah, blah, blah.
Well, you're busy.
And I want to do that at 6, so we have a 6 o'clock weather forecast. Tom, what's the weather?
Gary, you know, those thunderstorms that rained on your alfresco meal at noon, they may do that again a couple times in the days ahead, but we're building warmth and humidity in the area to downright heat by the end of the week. It may put together our first multi-day string of 90s. So tonight there's a chance of a shower thunderstorm, then partly cloudy, warm and humid, 67. Sun and mixed clouds tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms may bubble up in 40% of the area in the afternoon. They'll be widely scattered but gusty in spots, 87 but low 80s beaches. Storms diminish, 70 tomorrow night, and mixed sun and clouds, hot and humid Thursday. Scattered thunderstorms mainly in the afternoon, high around 90. Then Friday, hot and humid, partly sunny and 92, maybe a thunderstorm, and Saturday, partly sunny, hot and humid, high 94. We'll leave the thunderstorms out for now on Saturday, but check back with you and see if we're safe in doing that. It looks like it's a darn hot weekend coming up here.
Great. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right,
Tom.
Gary. Take care.
Tom Skilling. Gary Meyer on .fm. Joining me in the studio is Christopher Hungerman, or CJ, as he prefers to be called, but I thought we'll go formal initially. Christopher, or CJ.
Thank you.
You prefer CJ?
Sure.
Okay. Was at the broadcast on the 22nd floor.
Did you get any food?
I had a lot of food. Fast.
Good. You got it. You got there early. You got the food before they ripped it from us.
Right.
And he gave me a painting, which was a very nice painting, and he said, I've got something I'd like to talk about on the air coming up, if you could make some time. And I said, when he told me about it, I said, fine, sounds like a great thing. And before I do that, Bob wants to tell me about how he's also learning guitar, but probably practicing more than I am lately. I'm in a slump as far as practicing, and it's one of those things where you get going, and then you make excuses, and I'm finding I'm not practicing. What are you doing to motivate?
Well, it's the kind of thing you either do it or you don't, sort of like exercising, I've found.
Right.
But you mentioned Zen, and there's a book I commend to you. It's called Zen Guitar.
Mm-hmm.
It focuses on that whole thing of the harmony of playing and how you approach it. Quotes people like Jeff Beck says, there's no such thing as a mistake. I learn more from mistakes than I ever playing the right thing. But one thing that I found, do you do the blues scales at all? Have you gone through those?
A little bit, yeah.
I would get those out and just put it in front of the scales and get some of these standalone things where you can play along with it. And then you just improvise, you get into it, and all of a sudden you start to develop your own style, which is I've started to do. And you just take it to a whole nother level. But I suggest that. And go see Jeff Beck, who's going to be August 27th at Ravinia. Have you ever seen him?
I have not seen him live, but Ravinia, that would be the best place to see him.
Yeah, I've probably seen him 30 times in my life, and it's truly, I don't even know how to
inspiring, I'll bet.
An experience.
Yeah.
Every time. And he'll make sounds you've never heard before. But get the Zen Guitar book, and like I said, get the standalone things, and just start to riff on your own, and you'll take it off. You'll take off, and you'll go, wow.
Thanks, Bob.
Have at it.
I appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Back to Horses of Honor. It's a public art installation in Chicago benefiting the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. And CJ is going to tell us what that's all about. Also, there's somebody on the phone that is associated with this, Billy Bracken. And who can tell me who Billy is?
I can tell you who Billy is.
All right, Billy. Now, who better than Billy himself?
Yeah, I'm the principal of Agency 360, and we were approached by Phil Klein and the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, and asked if we would put together a public art program to benefit the memorial. So we had some interest and worked with another company on the Great Chicago Fire Hydrant program last year. Had a lot of success with it. We donated about $75,000 towards the 100 Club, raised their profile and their membership. So we thought this year we'd do it with horses. So we're going to have a stable of horses that will be launched on September 11th in some key locations around Chicago. And then on October 16th, we'll have about 50 horses on Michigan Avenue.
And tell us what the 100 Club is.
Well, the 100 Club, they benefit fallen police and fire families. And that was what the Great Chicago Fire Hydrant went towards. This time around, we're going to benefit the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, which just benefits fallen police officer families and helps support the catastrophically injured officers.
And the horses are life-size. Much like if you remember the cows on display a number of years ago, it's kind of that genre, and various people have painted these horses. CJ, did you paint one of these horses? Is that your involvement?
I have three horses that I'm painting, one for Brackenbox, United Service Companies, and Harry Carey's.
Okay, and people will eventually buy these horses.
They'll be auctioned.
That's the deal.
Yeah.
And then that money will go to the memorial fund?
Yep. Yes,
it will. Yeah, the way it works, Gary, is we have sponsors that purchase the horses. They work with an international, national, or local artist like Chris. And, Chris's pieces are wonderful. They're great. And then at the end of it, we'll have an auction, which will be on December 3rd at the Hyatt Hotel, and we'll auction these horses off. And some of the notable horses that we have right now, the Blackhawks purchased one, Chicago PD. And so we're hoping that, through some of these, well-known sponsors that will up the price and they'll auction off for a lot of money. And I'll tell you what, Chris's hydrants last year were wonderful and they looked great. And hopefully, his pieces this year will auction for a good amount of money.
How many horses are there again?
Well, right now we have about 55 sold. We're still selling horses right now. You can go to horsesofhonor.com if you're interested in sponsoring a horse. And you can also go there if you're an artist and you're interested in, designing a horse.
So when you sponsor, you get to paint the horse. Is that the connection?
Are there two separate things
happening there?
Well, no, it's actually one and the same. So, you purchase the horse for $2,500 or $3,500 for a gold sponsorship. And then what we'll do is we'll team up a sponsor with an artist like Chris, and they'll paint the horse, and then we'll put it on display on Michigan Avenue or, again, somewhere around the city. And then we auction them off at the end.
And the sponsor will get the signage at the location where the horse is displayed. That's where their deal comes in.
Yeah, they can, we'll promote it throughout the program. There'll be a plaque. And the plaque will identify the sponsor, the artist, and a fallen police officer that the horse is named after. And the Chicago Police Unit, the horse unit, they name all their horses after fallen police officers. So that's kind of a nice connection there.
And the horses, as you mentioned, will be on Michigan Avenue predominantly, or a few there and then scattered all over the city. Where will you know where they are?
Well, there's going to be a soft launch on September 11th near the John Hancock Observatory, Navy Pier, and then on October 16th through mid-November, right before Lights Festival, there'll be 50 horses that will be on display on Michigan Avenue. So,
and I would imagine there's a website to guide people.
There is. It's horsesofhonor.com.
Okay, so go there and get all the details. Great cause. I always thought that the mounted policeman, that was the coolest. If you had to be a cop, wanted to be a cop, that would be the best assignment, or on the police boat, because you're out only really during the nicest months and the stuff they must see. Maybe we'll do a boat thing next year honoring the police on boats. But this is a great thing. Now, is this Billy, are you and CJ involved in a company? Are you guys work together? How are you connected?
No, my company's Agency 360, and we do advertising, marketing, public relations, and we kind of fell into the public art program. But CJ, he worked with us in the fire hydrant program last year, and he's working again with us with three of our sponsors this year. And like I said, he's a very talented artist, so
And that's what you do full time, CJ. You're an artist full time.
Yes, and unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, you're very good at it because the little piece you gave me on the 22nd floor was really nice. It's
I'm
in
glad
my
you
office.
Appreciate it.
Very nice.
Is that the chalk joint?
No,
it was
that was
smaller.
Another one. It was like a little rocket ship on there. And,
the small one.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, our gallery's over in Fulton Market District, FM Gallery, and we're associated with Fulton Market Kitchen and do a bunch of events there. But I've had a blast doing the horses, which are – I did one for Brackenbox, and they're – you know, what we do is we work with the sponsors – not necessarily to put our, you know, artwork on it, but to, you know, do whatever they want on it. So we did their, you know, logos, and I'm going to work with Harry Carey's and do it, make the horse look like the cow. So I have an orange horse for Brackenbox, which is, you know, their color for their company, and Harry Carey's will be the holy one. But it's been very fun.
Yeah, so if this has the same traction that the cows had, and this sounds akin to that as far as they tried stuff after that, the ping pong tables and everything. That wasn't really what people wanted. They wanted to see something substantial, and I think the horses sound on the surface to be the next thing.
Yeah, they're huge, too.
Yeah, they're like you said, life size. They're, what, 6 feet tall?
And, yeah, they're big.
Yeah, big horse. Wilbur.
Yeah, I tried to sell like more of a pony size to the Police Memorial Foundation, and they wouldn't have it, so... They wanted to go with a life-size horse, which is a, you know, it's really a good tribute to the mounting unit for the Chicago Police Department.
Where do they make these horses?
They're actually made at Orlandi Statuary, which is in Chicago. It's up north.
They're fantastic. Those guys can make all kinds of stuff.
And they're fiberglass?
Yeah. They're not super heavy. I mean, they are, but, I mean, you could lift them if you had to by yourself, but, you know, you can move them around with two people.
Okay, if you're going to buy one, two people can move it anywhere on your premises. All right, Billy, thank you. I hope this is a big success for the memorial. And again, horsesofhonor.com is where you go to find out all the details of where the horses will be.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you, Billy.
Jerry, thanks for having us. Always a pleasure.
No problem. And CJ, always a pleasure. Nice meeting you again.
Thank you so much.
And you will have three horses that will be painted
correct.
By you.
Correct.
In the 55 or so that will be on display.
That is correct.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hey, I was told that there was going to be beer and pizza up here.
There was some.
But
they
grabbed it.
Did I miss it?
Yeah.
It was here at 3.
It's probably somewhere else where other people can enjoy it.
I understand.
I apologize.
Not a problem.
Thank you. All right. 312-521-8600. I want to talk about the other event that I touched on yesterday, but I didn't really elaborate. It's the Taste of Melrose Park. And Dave Novotny, speaking of artists and sculptors and all that, my in-house sculptor, Dave Novotny, is involved with this. He's very big in the Melrose Park activities. And the Taste of Melrose Park will happen Labor Day weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which is a week from this Friday already. And Dave will have a stand, I believe, and some of his stuff on display.
I think he said he's got a booth there, and then... It's a bunch of, you know, it's like your regular kind of stuff with food. And
right. 70 food booths. And if you know Melrose Park, you know the food is going to be nice. It's going to be nice beef dipped and lemonade and stuff. Although I'm seeing here the Taste of Melrose Park's top-selling food items are steak teriyaki, arancini.
Yeah, that's a rice. It's an Italian thing. It's a rice ball, a fried rice ball that usually has either some meat or some cheese in it.
And really? Sphingus, a dessert made by the Sisters of St. Charles.
Sphingus? I got spelled a shot for that.
S-F-I-N-G-I-S. Just spelling it is difficult. Sphingus. Isn't that how you say that? You're right. The name, probably not as appetizing as they'd like. But I don't want to slight the Sisters of St. Charles because they'll come with me with a ruler. So check it out. I mean, it's Melrose. It's food. It's great. And... you got all kinds of stuff. The mayor of Melrose Park is Ronald Serpico.
No, Serpico, his name is.
Is that how he says it?
Yeah, he doesn't say
it's spelled Serpico, though.
Yeah, it's Serpico.
But it's Serpico?
He says Serpico, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Dave's place is literally, like, right next to the city hall. It's like in the whole, you turn into the city hall place, and that's where
his factory is?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, he was the head maintenance guy at Kittyland all those years, and that's how I met him. One of the last weekends at Kittyland, decided to go out there and pay an homage to the fading neighborhood amusement parks, and was walking around, and guy goes, "Hey, Gary," it's Dave Novotny, introduces himself. He said, "I also do metal sculptures, if you're interested," and then he sent me that beautiful skyline piece, and then it started from there, and now it's all the Indian heads that I gave away at the United Center, and the beautiful stuff that he's been giving me to give away to you over the last few years.
And he made all the rides work.
Yeah.
I mean, that was his job.
And those rides were how old at that point? Geez. And they still ran on time. The train ran on time.
And the octopus did.
And the octopus. And the pirate ship.
And the galleon, yeah.
They were all on time. That galleon looks benign.
Oh, man.
CJ's still here. Were you ever at?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And it's just rocking back and forth. Yeah. But when I got on that thing, it's more than that.
That is horrible. Because it goes pretty high up, too. It doesn't just swing.
Yeah, it's just the motion.
You're sort of hanging when you get to one side or the other. You sort of hang over or you go up.
Your body is not really made to be jerked like that. Now, that's, like I said, compared to other things now, these roller coasters, I saw a video compilation of these roller coasters from around the world, the highest and the fastest and all that. There are some things out there that are just insane.
Well, the Goliath one is supposed
to be ridiculous. Well, that, but you think that's the top of the heap, but there are other ones out there that are even crazier.
Now, you know Kennywood, obviously.
Yes, in Pittsburgh.
I'm from Pittsburgh originally.
Oh, okay, so yeah, we go there just about every year.
We used to go to Conneaut, which has...
What is it?
Conneaut Lake Park in Pennsylvania, which is north, I believe, of Pittsburgh.
I've never been there.
It has something called the mouse that goes around just in a square until your teeth fall out.
Yeah. You can't. Your head shouldn't be jerked like that, but some people love it. Now, I have a story in that same vein. This woman went on an amusement park ride at a carnival. All right, I ask Erin again. She files all the stories. There must be 50 stories. They're not alphabetized or anything, but here, I see it. I see it. I got it. Yeah. Most people expect to get a little dizzy while careening through the air on a high-speed rotating carnival ride, but Bobby Lane, well, that dizziness turned permanent after she took a spin on the Super Bowl at a UK festival last summer. She says after she got off the ride, she was still a bit dizzy, but she figured it was just a temporary reaction to the ride and a day of fun in the sun, but the dizziness didn't disappear. She says, "I feel like I'm permanently at sea."
Oof.
She was diagnosed with migraine-associated vertigo, a disorder that often includes dizziness and motion intolerance, and typically affects people like Lane who already suffer from migraines.
Oh, so she already had some kind of a pre-existing...
Yeah, well, why would you go on a ride knowing that that might just jar it a little more?
And she walks around with her hands up all the time, just going, "Woo!"
Well, that woo! Too. A person with this disorder may disembark a ride, but her brain's signaling can't keep up and maintains a perpetual dizziness. Lane says her constant spins, it is literally like I'm drunk, have forced her to quit her job and radically modify her diet.
What's she complaining about?
Put that in a pill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She pay extra for that ride.
But she has been told the disorder is curable.
Well, then...
Yeah, Ebola is what you don't want.
Yeah,
that's not curable. This
a little vertigo, hey, takes the edge off.
So your brain pan gets a little whacked.
The whole idea is to get dizzy, isn't it? Isn't that what we strive for
in
life?
That's why people do
dizzy.
That, right?
Yeah, I mean,
to have everything kind of disconnected, your intestines forced way up and then down.
You talked to a couple of those alcoholics yesterday. That's what they said. They just want to keep the buzz going.
Yeah, Bob. Hello, Bob. What's up?
Scott.
What is it?
Scott from Michigan.
Well, it says Bob on the screen. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, Scott from Michigan. How you doing, Gary?
Good.
Hey, Fish and Chip was great. Did you get the text with the photos or no?
Say again?
I text you, I don't know, 15 minutes ago with some photos. We went out fishing on the Big Lake, Michigan, with my son for salmon, king salmon and lake trout. And I sent you a couple of photos, text.
I haven't seen that yet. I'm sure it's in here somewhere. And what happened?
No problem. Yeah, no. But we went to a crappy day on Tuesday, last Tuesday. Weather was garbage, but They got a little amusement park up near Muskegon, Michigan, called Michigan's Adventure, you know. And the nice thing is, crappy day, no lines, you know. So, but the coolest thing was this ripcord, you know. I don't know if you ever heard of this thing where they strap you in, you put your feet down on these, you know, they put this whole jacket around your body. And then you're free falling, and they swing you up real high. It's called a ripcord.
Okay.
And man, that thing was a rush.
It's a bungee deal, right?
Yeah. Well, not really.
Because speaking
it's not a bouncy thing. You know, it's more of a swingy thing.
Okay. Speaking of Kennywood, they have this feature where they, like he said, they wrap you in a compression vest, much like a thunder shirt, and then they pull you all the way up to the top of this tower, and then they cut the line, and you swing back and forth. It's kind of a bungee, swingy thing.
Wow.
It's called the ripcord, you know, and you pay your normal admission fee to get into Michigan's Adventure, and then it's an extra $40 for me and the kid to strap on the suit and, you know, the bottom drops out, and then they pull you way up, and you're swinging back and forth.
I get that here. I don't have to go on a ride. That happened to me 3 months ago.
Just going up the elevator.
Right. They cut me loose. I'm swinging. I'm jigging. I'm jagging.
No, it was good. It was good. You know, the nice thing about crappy weather and 60-degree weather was, you know, you get to ride the roller coaster. They got some cool roller coasters. I mean, they're nothing like Cedar Point, but the roller coasters, you know, we got on them 2-3 times, so we got our days full.
Sure, you know? You got your money's worth.
Yeah, I got the money's worth. And then Saturday, got the charter out to Lake Michigan, got nailed down 5 king salmon and 1 lake trout, and that was a real thrill for the kid
sure.
And for me.
There's a Norman Rockwell.
That's a lot of work.
You go to an amusement park. I've been on Lake Michigan. I told that story where I went out on one of those fishing things, and I was sitting on the cooler, and this guy would put about 6 poles in the sleeve, and then he'd get up on the top deck, and then he'd wait to see some movement, which I never saw, and all of a sudden, line! And then he'd run down the stairs, and he'd start reeling in.
Exactly.
Right, and then that's the easy part of it, at least from what I saw. And then he would
The hard part is pulling him in.
Pull him in, and then he'd take the thing, put it on this little table on the back of the boat, and cut its head off, throw the head back in the water, and then fillet it right there, and I was done. I didn't need to see that. I'm thinking this poor fish 2 minutes ago was just swimming around minding its own business. Well, by now they should know the different lures and bait. They should have some kind of sense that that's fake, it's tin, I know it's shiny. But they should know by now, not to be fooled.
But he was just hungry.
Oh,
it was hungry, yeah.
He was just hungry. That was his only sin.
That was only, right. And now his head's back in the water without the body.
Yeah, you're killing me. No, you're nailing it. You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy been, Mike Hoppenrath out of Saugatuck, Michigan, been doing it 30 years, probably 50 poles on the boat. Capacity for 15 lines in the water, 500 spoons, big war spoons, you know, and just, man, I nailed this lake trout.
War spoons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Salmon.
I pulled in this lake trout that was hanging on by a thread, you know.
Nice.
Man, it's a good thing. It's a good thing you kept reeling because you'd have lost them if you didn't.
Sure.
If you didn't pinch it.
You even know, these fish that are, say, I don't know, 15 pounds, 18 pounds, they put up a fight. I mean, you really got to work this thing.
Yeah, it was 20 pounds, man. I mean, my biceps were blown out, and my hands were just all cramped up. But it was fun, you know.
And we were about 10 miles out. You got to go about 10 miles out, right, to get into some good fishing.
Yep.
And we're sitting there very calm and about, I don't know, 100 yards away. I see this, what looked like a robot, an inflatable robot on its back just floating by. What the hell was that? I didn't even know what it was. It looked like a robot, an inflatable robot, just floated by. I don't know what it was.
I think you're hallucinating.
I think I was, too. And then I looked at the captain. He looked like a hamburger, like on a Popeye cartoon. One of those things, yeah. All right, Scott.
Good stuff, man.
Appreciate the travel log.
Yeah, all right, man. Good checking in with you. Great show.
Thank you.
Care.
Thank you. Jeff.
Yeah, what's up?
You tell me.
Hey, you know what? I saw you in Rockford in 1979 with a man three sizes bigger than you at Forest Hills Lodge next to the Rockford Speedway. Do you remember that?
What were we doing? We just rented a room at the lodge.
Don't you remember, Jeff?
Going on and on.
You remember,
people
Jeff?
People yelling 30... at you and da da da.
That doesn't narrow anything down. That's 35 okay. years of people yelling
well,
at me.
Okay, well, it was, you know, we're talking about 89, 99. We're talking about 35 years ago. So,
yes.
You know, I've lost a few cells since then. And it was hilarious. But what I wanted to say is me and my buddy went to NIU, and we listened to you on The Loop, was it? Or what was the name of that station?
We were on The Loop, yes.
Yeah, The Loop. We started listening to you on The Loop.
Right.
And I've been following you ever since. And I've never once in my entire life called into a radio station until today.
Wow. How does it feel?
And anyways, I had to buy an iHome so I could get you again because I lost you when you went to this FM thing.
An iWhat?
Huh?
You bought an iWhat?
iHome. You hook it up to your iPhone, and it's like a little radio, but it's got all sorts of stuff on it.
Oh, yeah?
So I've been listening to you all day, except it was yesterday I was listening to. I just found out, because I don't know how to work this damn thing.
You're listening to a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
At least.
I don't even know if I'm listening to you now.
I don't.
There's some guy talking about Norman Rockwell.
Yeah, that's right now. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to hold the newspaper up to the microphone because it's today's paper.
Yeah.
That is
okay,
Tuesday's paper.
It. Yep, 8:19.
Yeah.
I see it now.
Okay.
The trip.
All right, you got it. You're on You're on the right thing now.
Jackie Robinson West wins.
I'm on the right program. This thing is very confusing to me because, like I say, I'm 53, and computers pass me by.
Well, I think you're doing fine. You got a podcast or whatever you got, but you're in.
Well, it says and then I put myself in as a follower just now. I don't know what that's going to do to me, though.
Oh, you're not a leader. You're a follower. I don't know what that means either.
Something like that.
Right. You might
I don't know. It says you've got either 1,200,000 followers or 1,200 or 12,000.
I don't know myself, Jeff.
I don't either.
I think you just joined a religious cult is what you did.
But I know that I've just added one to it, whatever it is.
All right.
Well, thank God he broke down and made a phone call to a radio station.
Finally.
Finally.
Finally, after we all got together at the lodge in Rockford.
Yesterday, except
what's that?
I had it written down 512.
Okay.
And I kept getting this crazy person that was just mad as hell at me. And finally, I realized it's 521.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 312-521-8600.
Okay, I got it.
Your tone almost sounds like you're on the verge of doing a Harry Carey impersonation.
Well,
I got the
what?
Wrong. It's right there. You're a tipping away.
Well, you know what? This is kind of, you know what? I'm usually pretty flamboyant, pretty outgoing, but this has kind of got me laid back because I'm a little freaked out about calling into a radio.
No, don't worry. You did fine.
Did I?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey,
you're fine.
Wolf, you're out there, man. We
all
love
right.
you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Hey, take care.
Okay.
Rockford, Illinois.
Party on.
Okay.
iHome. I've never heard that. Leslie's got to sit where you're sitting and do the news. CJ and the Horses of Honor coming up, and I appreciate you coming by, CJ. Thank you. Good to see you. I'll keep you posted on those horses when they're on display.
They're at the post.
They're at the post.
They're at the post.
And they're off. And iHome, have you heard of that, Leslie?
It wasn't what I thought he was talking about. Everything's, I guess, now.
I got to think he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's got to be something different, right? He
doesn't I don't know. I can't say that it is or isn't.
Well,
I'm not familiar
computer.
With all this
I thought
stuff.
He bought a house. That was wired.
Well, at first I'm thinking home. Oh, I was thinking Nest. Have you heard about that? It's the... it's such a cool application so that you can do everything for your home from your cell phone. Change the thermostat, set the lighting, and do all that through
maybe
that
it's
little
like
computer
that.
In your hand.
Gary Meyer on WGN.FM, The Future. 312-521-8600 is the phone number and the text number. It says here, I was talking about that swimmer's itch that is in some lakes in Michigan. It says, went to Clear Lake, California last month to swim, as my kids don't like salt water. We were turned away because the fish had herpes, and we could potentially get herpes by swimming in there.
Whoa.
I have never heard that before. And several of these have come in over the last 90 minutes concerning the end of last night's show. Do you know that the microphones were left on after the show yesterday, and everybody could hear Aaron and Bibble talk about how drunk Joe was? Funny stuff. Now, that's dangerous. Less dangerous, though, when you're on the Internet, because the rules, well, there aren't any.
Well, we mentioned that Joe sounded drunk on the air anyway.
And restrictions are not there either. Yeah, that wasn't something behind anybody's back.
No. We were talking, that was, she said, do you think she was drunk? And I said, yeah, I think she was drunk.
I don't think she'd deny it.
No.
Heck, I'd be.
And we said that on the air when she was on the phone.
A little juiced. I'd be into Sir Richard Strawberry.
There's no breakers on the lake.
We were talking about this incident during the air show on Saturday where this 97-year-old priest in a wheelchair was pushed down to some dock to watch the air show. And for some reason, his wheelchair got loose and went into the water with
His caretaker got distracted.
Right.
So he must have let go of the...
With him on it. And I'm thinking, Blue Angels, Blue Angels. Then, oh, White Angels. Different color angels. What is this? This isn't the air show. And I asked if wheelchairs have brakes on them. And she kept saying there are no breakers.
No breakers on the lake.
And every time I mentioned wheelchair and brakes, she just didn't connect with it.
Well, it was a water show, so at least the priest got that. It's an air and water show.
Well, he got his own water show.
Yeah.
I watched a movie last night called All Is Lost. It's with Robert Redford, and he's on a yacht that crashes into a shipping container.
Yeah, that was
that is just abandoned in the middle of the ocean. The other thing lost, the 106 minutes of my life I spent watching this gem. I haven't seen it. It was critically applauded.
Yeah, it was no dialogue. He never talks.
But it was, have you seen it?
I saw part of it on the, well, I won't say where I saw it.
On the airplane ride?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I sort of fell asleep during
it. Yeah. Well, you've got the humming of the airplane engines and no dialogue. That will do it. iHome is speaker device for iPhone, similar to clock radio. So there is something called iHome.
That's good.
iHome is a brand of iPhone accessories such as speakers and clock radios, getting a lot of those. And iHome is a docking station for iPhone with speakers. Oh, okay.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
No. Well, that's a good idea.
Of course, I have a burner phone, so how would I know about this stuff?
Can you put that on your flip phone?
iHome is a company that makes clock radios, no relation to Apple.
Well, I thought Apple pretty much copyrighted everything with an I in front of it, but I guess not.
That's what I told my girlfriend. It was fish herpes. Honey, I got it from the fish when I was in a lake in California. Nice try. Tomorrow, Scott Stantis returns, the cartoon boy from the Tribune.
You're letting him back in, huh?
Well, this is going to be, I know you have issues because you want to be portrayed as something.
Well, is not a grotesque monster, yeah.
Well, that's not going to happen. But he will only be on now once a month for several reasons. I just don't have the prize closet, if you will, that I used to have right now to give stuff away. And until that beefs up, I'm just going to have it once a month. And tomorrow would be the first time in a while, and then not for a month after that.
But now he is doing it every week, because at first he thought he was only doing it once a month.
Right. He's going to continue on with the contest in the newspaper, but I'm going to cut back to once a month for now. The cartoon is Rahm Emanuel running from one of those red light camera stands. It's got that camera that takes the picture, and then there's another camera that flashes a light there. Anyway, it's like a robot running after Rom, and it's that red light camera situation. You provide the caption and the top three that I pick. Well, one will get one of the Dave Novotny metal crucifixes. I have one of those to give away, and then some, I believe, Lou Malnati's gift cards. I think those are still in play. So the top three will take home one of those. And you can send those captions to my Facebook page, The Gary Myers Show. That's the only way I can receive the captions. And then he'll be in tomorrow around 5 o'clock, and we'll discuss some of the captions.
Had some lose over the weekend. Chicago classic, butter crust.
Can't go wrong with the Lou Malnati's pizza.
Man.
Although the Paisanos.
Oh, yes, very good, too.
Was part of the broadcast on the 22nd floor. That was delicious. And Rudy's Bar and Grill, there's another place that you want to strap on the feed bag. Hey, Gary, what is Citizen Kane doing these days? He was the morning guy on WGN.FM. I'm sorry, dot nothing.
No dot.
WGN AM when I was on in the afternoon for a while. And he looked to me like Citizen Kane, so I started calling him that, Greg Jarrett. I believe he's doing morning radio in San Francisco.
Oh, is he back there?
I think he is. That's where he came from.
Yeah.
And I think he's back there on a big station. Nice guy. I mean,
hey, had a great mole.
Mole. And
made a lot of moles. And didn't he make some candy or something one time? He made something that was really good.
He brought in some, was it candy or brownies? What was it? Chocolate candy. Chocolate candy.
Yeah,
right.
He made like Pixies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, unless he was just BSing and bought some Fannie Mae and put them in a sandwich bag, these things were delicious.
Well, he said that he cooked. He was a big chef.
And he was a raconteur, a man about town, a bon vivant, the world's most interesting man.
Yeah, remember he spoke languages. He was on top of mountains. There was everything you mentioned. Oh, yeah, I did that one time.
Little did he know that doing that morning show is cursed. No man that has done it has come out the other end whole. And that's just what happened. I wouldn't, if they said tomorrow, I want you to do the morning show on WGN-AM, would not do it.
Really?
No, it's cursed. I'm not going to do it.
Remember,
it's got too much goofy juju around it.
Remember, he was here for about 2.5 years. He was renting an apartment for about 2 of those years, and he just
bought a house,
and then he got fired.
That's the other thing in this business. As soon as they know that you're in deep on a mortgage, they just shove it right in your neck.
I mean, and he was, you know, he's playing it smart, and then after a while he was getting confident. Right. Like, okay, I've been here for a while, and his ratings were good.
That's the funny part. I know some people will say, oh, he didn't really have good ratings. Hey, his ratings were higher than what they have now.
He had a 10.
Yeah, and a 10 in any, you don't even have to know how that 10 measures, right. If it's on a scale
10 is good.
1 to 100.
Usually.
Let me just use this as your center point. If you can get, these days, a 4 or a 5 on commercial radio, you're in the game. Anything above that is gravy. He had a 10.
He had a 10.
So if that's bad, then I'll take bad. Anyway, whatever the politics or crap that he got caught up in, they let him go. And he went back, I believe, to San Francisco.
Yeah, but I always liked him.
But that, look at that morning show on what's happened in the last, let's go back, how many years you want to go back?
Well, whenever Wally left. Because when he was there, it was pretty stable for 20 years.
Yeah, but his life was...
His personal life.
Goofy.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about his tenure. Because even think of the 10 years. I mean, he was there for 25 years. If you could, aside from Spike... Since Spike on, it's been...
Okay, so let's just say that when Wally was on, he was married and divorced 3 times to the same woman, and then they get back together, and then she's in a bad car wreck and breaks about every bone in her body, so he's got to be her caretaker and get through that. And then the poor guy gets Alzheimer's in the latter years of his life. He didn't even know where he was, and I saw him getting that street dedicated to him on Rush Street. I just happened to be walking by when they were doing it, and he didn't know where he was. And that's that. There's your I'm the King of Morning Radio. You go from that to Uncle Bobby. You know what happened to that,
tragic,
to him.
Tragic.
And then Spike takes over, and then his house burns down when he goes on a cruise, and he had somebody there to watch the house while he's on the cruise.
And that
and
guy,
that's the person that burned the house down by mistake. Because he put some wood chips in a grill in back of the house and started the whole house on fire.
Well, it was a propane grill, and he thought it was a coal grill.
Yeah, so he put some wood in there or something. And wasn't Spike's dog killed?
Yeah.
And he lost a lot. He had a lot of this
memorabilia,
rock and roll memorabilia that was lost.
Some Beatles stuff, I think he had, yeah.
Following Spike, it was
John Williams.
John Williams. He went on a cruise. They called him in the gift shop and said, oh, by the way, you're not on the morning show anymore.
He was in Alaska.
Yeah. He couldn't wait till he got back. I think his wife picked up the phone, too.
Oh, is John there?
he's not. What can I do for you?
He's looking at some...
Just so we can ruin your whole trip, when he comes back, he's not on the morning show anymore. And then it went to Brandmeier?
No.
Is that when Brandmeier took
over? No, then it went
that
to,
was
Garrett. Then okay. to Greg Jarrett.
Garrett, as I call him.
Garrett.
Just combine the two.
Just one word.
Greg Jarrett.
Yeah.
So I just told you what happened to him. And then it went to Brandmeier. And you saw what happened there.
Was that Brandmeier?
Yeah, that was after Greg Jarrett.
Wow.
Yeah. And on and on.
Man.
Do I need any more examples?
Jeez. And that's what's so funny, though, is during Wally's reign, what, 15, 20 years in
Long
the morning?
Long time.
I mean, there was that was a staple. There was no change at all. Look in the last 15. 20 years, my God,
less than that.
Seven people. Because Spike was on for a good, what, 10?
Yeah.
So he had a pretty good, solid run without any, at least his time, like you said, his personal thing. That was, God, could you imagine being away?
It's the combination of the phone call. Whenever they ask you to go on a cruise on that morning show, don't do it. Do not do the cruise.
I think Bob and Marianne are going in September.
They were on one today, and you saw what happened.
That's right.
That torrential downpour and the lightning, they're out on a boat. It's Gilligan and Marianne out there. A three-hour tour.
I think it's more like the Professor, Marianne.
Something like that. I didn't know that they were out on the boat because I have no idea what's going on there anymore. But I come back from lunch and somebody says, you know, Bob and Marianne are out on the lake.
Oh, man.
And the half that they were on, the first half, was lightning and torrential rain.
It was a three-hour tour, just like the Gilligan's Island.
Yes,
3 hours.
Exactly.
Well, I don't think they were off the dock, though, were they?
I don't know. Were they on the lake? I don't know. I don't know what they were doing.
I mean, hopefully. But why
hopefully,
would you?
Why do you care?
No.
You have nothing but anger now for all that.
Well, certainly. But my point is, if you're going to go on a boat, you should go in the water.
How do you know they didn't? I thought they did go on one of those.
I hope they did. I don't know, but I hope they did.
Maybe they saw the weather and stayed on the dock. I don't know.
I hope they just didn't do a show on a boat that
anywho,
was docked.
Anywho, the connect the dots thing here of that AM, do not go on a boat if you are on the air on the AM.
Yeah, the
boats and that are badly connected.
Well, any kind of transportation, because the plane isn't good either. We learned from Uncle Bobby. So anything that's transportational. Just stay on land.
If you're on before noon.
Right.
That's the deal. Because everything went fine when I was there.
Yeah.
I didn't have any problems.
No.
A friend of mine.
Smooth sailing, if you will.
Was in from California, and he had never been to the station, so they had the Cubs game on, and there was nobody in the showcase studio, so I took him in to show him that studio. And when I walked in there, I hadn't been in there in a long time. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's what I really miss.
Were you like, I used to sit here?
Yeah. It was a sunny day yesterday, and people all over the place.
Used to look out there.
Yeah. That's the part you
that
miss.
That's
the best studio I've ever worked in. How can you not like that studio?
I mean, this is nice. You have a nice view of the upper regions of Michigan Avenue, but
nothing like that studio. It's one of a kind.
Watching the people come by, waving. I'll never forget that time such a cool experience when we had that major snowstorm about 2-3 years ago. And it started right when our show started at 3.
And we just watched that whole thing develop.
And it watched it like, oh, it's just flurries.
No,
my goodness.
No, it was predicted to be a big one, and it was. And to see it all pile up.
I mean, first it just started snowing a little, and all of a sudden
then it turned on, and then all the offices started let out early.
And then you're getting phone calls about, you know, Lakeshore Drive being closed.
From one of the news guys.
Roger
who was
Bannon.
Stuck there for hours.
He almost lost a toe. But, yeah, that was just a cool... I hope the people that are broadcasting from that studio, I hope they're not taking it for granted. Because you miss it.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool, though.
Yeah.
I saw so many people that I hadn't seen, just like some friends, by accident or not.
Oh, yeah.
That just walked by.
My
like,
high
oh, my
school
goodness.
Gym teacher came by one day yeah. and tapped on the window. I hadn't seen him since high school.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It says on this text, the 312-521-8600, as we go inside baseball here, I guess. But Brandmeier has admitted he didn't fit on AM 720. Segments are only 7 or 8 minutes long with all the breaks and news on the morning show.
Yeah.
Well, that was, that's but that was already the format when he started. Yeah. It wasn't like it was a surprise.
Yeah. And don't forget about a year or 2 years before that, he actually made a video about how he wanted to work at WGN. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that video?
Yeah, I don't think he thought there was any problem by going on there. Yeah. Here's a text, smooth sailing until they canned you to .fm.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but
it was smooth sailing. It had great ratings.
Yeah, I didn't go out on how some of these people have gone out.
Well, that ship was humming.
Was still sailing well.
It was humming. Now you're in dry dock.
I'll tell you what, it's not so bad to have a dry once in a while. What's wrong with this?
I think it's fantastic. I mean,
there are a lot of advantages to this that I didn't have on the AM. I have found that out. There are fewer listeners, no doubt, but
the only thing that I think is the great challenge is that you were able to build an audience because the radio is always there. And so how many times did you get phone calls where people said, you know, when you first came on WGN, I didn't like you, but now you're the only show I listen to, or I listen to you every day. And this is a destination for people. You won't get ambient people listening to this and then sort of trying it out.
No,
somebody
not,
has to make the effort.
It's not like there's a scan button
right.
and you'll stumble on it.
So I think that's, and then I also think that I used to always enjoy just the phone callers that didn't like the show. I mean, it's great to have the cadre
of people. You want that percussion.
I
want everybody just to lockstep.
No, and I think the people that call in, at this point at least, are fans of the show, which is fine and great to hear that kind of input, that they like the show and they're interesting. But it is kind of fun where people go, you know, what the hell are you talking about? Or you're a jerk or you're an idiot. Now, that seems to come out on the texts more.
Yeah, I think that's just all part of the mix.
Yeah, it's just a different way of communicating.
I'm still laughing about the priest's boat that I named Cruise of Fiction. I pictured that priest who went into the drink to have a boat, and its name was Cruise of Fiction.
Well, I told you that I had a priest in my parish who had a boat. I think that's
where you came. Or, yeah, right, his boat.
Yeah, his boat was cool.
And it was beige. It's got to be beige. Everything, every vehicle that clergy own is beige.
And big.
Because that's what the car dealers want to get rid of. They know they can't move the beige car, so they give them to a convent.
Here you go, Father.
Or a rectory. Here, take the beige station wagon. Couldn't sell it anyway.
Yeah,
and
those,
you're happy to get the free vehicle.
Yeah, because those rectories were a little depressed. Did you ever go inside the rectory?
Yeah.
Or the convent?
Jeez, yeah. Try to get some lighting in there.
And it was a weird smell, too, like a mothball-y.
Exactly. And somehow there was a conversational jag about grandma's candy, and I forget what started it.
Oh, I don't know.
Grandma. The coffee.
Oh, no, we were talking about Carol, because we were talking about the different candies in Duffy's office. Duffy came in last night.
Right.
Again.
Oh.
And you were talking, and he was saying that in the main offices at the reception desk, there's some grandma candy.
Right. And Carol has been here 47 years.
50.
Make it 50.
Think she's 50.
Okay, 50.
Yeah.
And she always has a dish of candy, but nobody seems to touch it because it's, as Duffy said, it's old people candy.
Well, it's from 1947.
And when I think of that, I thought of those root beer barrels. And I went right. by yesterday. It was root beer barrels. And all of them still in there. Not one touched.
There you go.
And then Duffy mentioned something else of that same ilk.
Right.
Mallow cups.
Yeah, right, right. Or something.
Is that a grandma candy?
It was
always hard candy,
Always in a wrapper.
Right, because they'd have it for 15, 20 years. It'd still be in the dish.
And still good. Well, supposedly.
I don't know why they didn't branch out to chocolates or whatever. The woman who picked up her crucifix today dropped off a whole bag
oh,
of
is that
candy
where you got
bars.
It?
Yeah, she said, give some of this to Duffy.
Oh, that's funny.
But Duffy's problem is these guys on the sports station, they just go in there and just grab a handful and deplete the whole thing and they never replenish.
Yeah, that's not right. You got to replenish. If you take, you have to pay forward.
That's the deal. Because Duffy is nice enough to fill. He's got three compartments. It's mostly Lifesavers, and then he'll go into some little candy bars.
Well, and the thing is, that's not, you know, you think that's a nice little, oh, it's nice that Duffy does that. That's expensive. Do you see how much those bags of candies cost? That's not cheap to go and fill that every 2 days.
No.
On your own.
And it's about every 2 days because, like I said, these guys just take and they don't give back.
I bet you that if he, if just his alone without getting any back, if he were to fill that every day, I bet you that's $20, $30 a week.
That's a house payment
on kid
in some towns. Matt, the trivia guy, is checking in.
Hey, Gary. Yeah, speaking of trivia for Citizen Kane, I just thought I'd give you a little bit from his Wikipedia page. It says, June 15, 2009, management of GM in Chicago announced that Jared would be joining the station on the 22nd as its morning drive host. He'd fill the position previously held by legendary Chicago talkers Wally Phillips, Bob Collins, and Spike Odell. Most recent WGN personality to hold that slot, John Williams, replaced Odell, but spent only 6 months in the slot. He moved to 9 to noon at the same time Jared started his morning host. On December 2nd, 2011, WGN announced that longtime Chicago radio personality Jonathan Brandmeier would replace Jared in the morning time slot as in a shift to a more personality-based program. Jared now is based in Portland, Oregon, where he runs a voiceover and news crisis management firm.
Oh, okay. I thought he went to San Francisco. Maybe he did, but maybe he moved on from there.
So he's in Portland.
That could be. They don't mention it, but that
he was
could
from
be.
San Francisco originally.
Yeah, that's where he came from to here.
Yeah, he was on the
odd that he'd move all the way up to Portland, but that's apparently the latest according to Wikipedia. But you know how that is; it's user driven. So,
actually, I think he has a house in Portland. I think he came from Portland at some point.
Okay.
I think that's where he had a house and he never sold it.
Didn't his wife live there?
Yeah.
Well, it says he was born in. He was born in San Antonio, but his family moved repeatedly, and he attended 16 grade schools and 3 high schools.
Yeah, that's just like radio.
Yeah, he got to more schools than I thought I was bad at like 7 different schools to get through high school. He was 16 grade schools and 3 high schools. That's getting around.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he wasn't even a military brat. Usually those are the people that have to move and change schools a lot.
Well, that's why he was the world's most interesting man.
Spanish was his first language.
Yes. See, he made mole.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
Or as it said on there, Nat.
Nat? It said Nat on there?
Yeah.
Come on, people. You said Scott was Bob. What's going on?
Aaron's very tired today.
Yeah, because after the show we thought was over, Aaron and Bibble decided to tee off on Joe.
Hey, she brought it up. She said, do you think Joe is drunk? And I said, yeah, I think she was drunk.
Right, and the microphones were still on.
Aww, well, no, but it wasn't right in the mic. The problem was that Duffy was on a wrong mic, and that one didn't get shut off.
You're going to blame other people for the nastiness that goes on in your head.
My point is it was ambient sound. It wasn't, like, right into the mic. It was just kind of, it was for the DVD. It was deleted scenes.
All right, extras.
Yeah, bonus tracks.